Welcome to the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency, helping you do more and be better. And now here's your host, Zachary Sexton.
You are tuned into the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency. My name is Zachary Sexton, and today I have with me Tan Pham.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It's going really well. And Mr. Mike Schmitz.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here.
We are going to be talking about something that actually is more social in nature. It's your calendar. So we've got five tips here to master your calendar. And it's actually been almost a year. I think maybe a little over a year since we last talked about calendaring in episode 19 of the Productivity Show. And we thought we'd go for round two because this is such an important productivity tool. You need your task manager to know what you need to be doing, and you need your calendar to know when and where you need to be doing it. So we are going to be diving into those tips and just kind of sharing our insights, what we've learned over the past year or years effectively managing our calendar. I know it's something I would not be on time for anything if I didn't have everything in my calendar or a trusted system. So we're going to try to help you get that trusted system so you don't have to stress about that either. Like I used to. I don't know if Mike and Tan, if you guys were the same way, but wasn't always a big calendar follower until a couple of years ago, and it's made just such a big difference.
What? Can't believe that.
Yeah, I've never struggled with that ever, Zach. That's weird.
I can't tell if there's irony or not. All right. Well, Tan, you can keep quiet. Everyone can just think you're always been Asian efficient, so I won't out you if you ever weren't. But maybe we can dive into that first one, which is I know one that that we're all fans of is Know Thy Shortcuts. So there's a number of different calendaring apps out there, and a lot of them offer different shortcuts. As much as everyone on the team tries to convince me BusyCal is awesome, still use just the regular Google calendars. I go onto the browser and I open it up and I put everything in there. I think it's just a comfort thing. I know it works and I trust it. And if you want to be a little bit more Asian efficient about it, you can go into your settings and change one thing in the... I need to go into the settings to know where it is, but I believe it's called Google Labs, and all I have to do is press S because I already have the shortcuts. So if you go into the general settings, and at the very bottom, you don't have to go to the Google Labs, you can go enable keyboard shortcuts and say yes. And in the show notes, we've got a link to all of the shortcuts, but just the ones I use every day are, you can just press T to go to the current day. You can press the forward slash to search, just like you can in Spotlight on the Mac. And one that's really neat is I default mine to the week view, but you can change to day, to week, to month, and to your agenda mode, which is something a lot of people don't know that's in there. It has all of your calendar appointments, like it's a one-page PDF that you can print out for your agenda by typing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or D for day, W for week, M for month, and then X and A for the last two. I usually just use the 1 through 5. And last one I use a lot is a C for creating a current event. So those are my shortcuts for the Google Calendar. So if people out there are still using that application as their main source of input, I would recommend that.
I'm really curious to hear from you guys. Like, Zach, you mentioned that you use the week view. I personally use the month view as the default view. What do you use, Mike?
I actually use a custom view in BusyCal.
You have to make it custom again.
Yeah. Well, I like the weekly view because you can see everything that's happening every day. And I tend to have a lot of stuff on my calendar. But with BusyCal, you can set the length for like the custom week view for how many days it displays. So if it's Wednesday and I want to be able to see both today and next Wednesday, I can't go with a standard week view because that's only 7 days. It would only take me to next Tuesday. But with BusyCal, I can set it to 8 days. So that's my default view.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of people's calendars, and I always find it super interesting just to see how people have it set up and how they use it. And the recurring thing I've noticed is everybody has a different view. And so it doesn't really matter which calendar app you use or platform. for some reason, people look at me weird when I have the month view open. I'm like, yeah, I just like to know what's going on this week, next week. And especially in BusyCal, you have these like little squares of days, and I just like to see everything fit in. And one of the things I've sort of subtly noticed is that if the square is too packed, I know that that's going to be like a busy day. So that's when I know, like, okay, I'm probably not going to get a lot of stuff done that day. I should probably plan around that. So that's like a really subtle thing I look for, is when I look at that and say, okay, in a month, I know that I have a lot of appointments that day. I know I'm on a trip that day. So that way I can just like plan a little bit ahead and see, okay, this is what I need to do this day, that day, that day I can't do stuff. And it makes it a lot easier. But talking about shortcuts, Zach, you bring up a really interesting point, which is shortcuts are kind of tailored to every single app. And obviously in BusyCal, you have other shortcuts. And as you all know, I love, 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 love BusyCal, even though I think Fantastical also is awesome. But it just has a couple bugs that I just can't get over with yet. So because personally, I really like the day view in Fantastical. And I like how it's like laid out and how you can kind of scroll on the left sidebar and see stuff. And I'm talking about the desktop app here, by the way. But it just has certain bugs that I still just prevents me from using it. So I hope if they're listening, fix the Google Calendar stuff and the invites. Because then I would actually switch over. But speaking of shortcuts, so a couple shortcuts. If you're using BusyCal, the number one shortcut that I use is to create a new event. So on BusyCal, it's Option Command N. So Option Command N. And N as in Nico, Nick, whatever you want to use. And you can just use natural language as well. Just like what Fantastical is kind of known for is like you can just type random words in and we'll figure out where to put it. You can pretty much do the same thing in BusyCal. So you can type in, you know, dinner with Mike at 5 o'clock and it will put that in the current date. Or you can say tomorrow at 5, I'm having dinner with Mike. And it will be something very similar. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And on the topic of natural language capture in Fantastical, that's what I use for putting events on my calendar, because ultimately the calendar that whatever app you're using is displaying is probably going to be a Google calendar. I know there's other calendar types, but that seems to be the most popular one. So it doesn't really matter if you're viewing it in the web browser like Zach, or if you're using BusyCal. But for me, Fantastical is so easy to add calendar events, because when you use the natural language capture, you can actually see it animate the event in real time. I don't know if BusyCal has been updated to do that or not, but it's just really nice to see as you're typing the changes being made, because there's a lot of stuff you can do in addition to just, you know, lunch with Tan on Thursday at noon. You can even, using the natural language, if you know how to do it, you can tell it which calendar to go to and things like that. So in terms of getting events on your calendar, yeah, shortcuts are important, but natural language I think is a great option, because ultimately the purpose of the shortcuts is to help you work with the application faster. And natural language for me seems to be a lot faster than clicking the buttons and pressing the keys to get my calendar event on there. And in that spirit, another thing that I'll use is Siri. So if you were to pull out Siri, you know, and say, ahoy telephone, create a calendar event, lunch with Tana on Thursday, to my personal calendar, it will do that. And it does it through the calendar app on the phone. But because if you have it set up right, if it's tied to the Google Calendar and it knows that that's the Google Calendar, whatever changes you make there are going to be reflected in real time in whatever type of app that you would use.
Is your Siri activated by saying ahoy?
No, it is if you say, hey, whatever. So
I thought you had the Mr. Burns setting. I was like, oh, no. I need that.
No.
Well, cool. And Tan, I've looked over your shoulder too, and your day view or your month view looks very clear. And I just went to my month view on my Google Calendar, and it just looks like a mess. So I think it's the difference in how it lays things out. I might actually be a month or maybe a 2 week guy, closer to what you have, Mike, if it were a little bit better of view. So we're talking about quick capture and how to get things in there efficiently so everything's on there so you can trust it more. But the next step would be how you look at the calendar. Now, we just talked a little bit about, and that wasn't one of our tips, but setting the right view for you. But the next one we wanted to talk about was the color code and how you can use that to be able to look at your calendar at a glance and know basically how many obligations you have and what types of obligations they are. So a simple one that you can start with if you've never color-coded anything before is just the distinction between work and personal. And for me, I've actually resisted color coding for quite a while because I'm colorblind. So I always assumed that it wouldn't work for me. Even if I can't tell if the color is orange or brown or whatever it happens to be, I actually know vaguely what the color is. So I've only got a few different colors that I use. And I do red slash maybe it's brown sometimes if it's a really important appointment. And blue is just my default one. So that's typically for work. And I'll use orange or green or yellow, I'm not really sure, for personal things. So I've kind of got a work, personal, and important tiers to it. So a real simple setup. But I know there's some more intermediate and advanced setups we can do. So, Mike, do you want to dive into your possibly more advanced color coding schemes?
Yeah. I use these a lot, and I use them basically for different areas of responsibility. So my wife and I have a shared family calendar. So if there's something that we need to account for, that I need to be aware of, you know, she has an appointment at this time or whatever, that's going to go on the family calendar. I've got a personal, I've got a work one, routine. So I subscribe to the Stephen Covey philosophy, the big rocks. And I know we've mentioned this story on Asian Efficiency before, but I'll just tell it real quick, I guess, if people aren't familiar with it. But the idea is that if you were to take a jar, which represents all the time that you have available to you, you're going to want to put the big rocks in first. Because after you put the big rocks in, you can still get in the pebbles and the sand and all the little things that can fill in the cracks around those big rocks. For me, the routine is important because these are the things that I want to make sure that I don't miss. But if I don't schedule them, I find that I typically will do that. I'll get to the end of the day and I'll be like, oh man, I didn't get to the gym today. So I try to put that on the calendar. But what's really cool, and there's a couple other ones like a church and things like that, but what's really cool about Fantastical, Tan, is that they have these things called calendar sets. So for example, if I'm in my office, I want to see the work calendars. If I'm at home, I want to see the personal calendars. And Fantastical can automatically display the appropriate calendar set based on your location and the Wi-Fi network that you're connected to, which I think is super cool.
Oh, that's pretty gangster.
Yeah, that's one of the features I really, really like about Fantastical. But it's just those couple bugs that just like prevent me from using it. I just still can't.
What are those bugs, Tan? It doesn't integrate with Google Calendars?
It does, but there's this bug.
Sometimes.
There's this bug where if you share, or not share, but like you send an invite to a bunch of people, let's say you send an invite to me and Mike, I can accept it on behalf of Mike for some reason. And this happens like sometimes. So it's like, it's weird. It doesn't handle the invites properly right now, which is kind of unfortunate. And especially since we, you know, work in a team and we have to send out these invites all the time, it's kind of weird if I accept a calendar invite on behalf of Mike and Mike says, well, I can't actually be on there that day or whatever. So,
right. And the notifications that pop up don't even tell you what calendar it's for. So I've done that before where I've inadvertently accepted an invitation for somebody else.
Yeah. And that's like, it's just annoying. But going back to the color coding thing. So if you look at my calendar, it's kind of a rainbow. There's like all sorts of stuff going on there. So just to give you a couple of colors, we're going to talk about automation a little bit later, but my calendar in BusyCal is basically synced up to every single thing. Like I have the Asian Efficiency Dojo calendar synced up. So I see everything that's going on in the dojo. So all the events that are added there, meetups that people are doing, it's all in there. I have the team calendar that we have at Asian Efficiency. So all the stuff that's going on when it comes to like people leaving, people traveling, that sort of stuff. And then I have my TripIt, which is connected to it as well. Then I have anniversaries. I have birthdays. So those are in different colors. Then I see my own calendar at Asian Efficiency. And then I see my personal calendar. And then I see the holidays in the United States. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of stuff going on there, a lot of different colors. But like you mentioned earlier, if you can color code it the right way, it's really easy to actually see what's going on. So for example, all the birthdays are kind of highlighted differently in BusyCal because they're banners, or they call them banners. So they're blue, like light blue. All the dojo events are kind of like turquoise. I think that's the color. All the Asian Efficiency stuff is green. All the automated Asian Efficiency events are orange. People that are on leave or traveling are purple. And anything by TripIt is red. So I know it's like I'm traveling that day. All the all-day events by anything that's going on is also green. So I know it looks kind of weird as you describe it, and you probably hear this, but once you kind of know what each color represents and how, if you have like a system for it kind of thing, then the month view, at least to me, makes a lot of sense, because you just look at it and you're like, okay, lots of green, that means Asian Efficiency stuff, I'll be busy that day. Lots of blue, that means it's personal day, and that sort of stuff. So that to me just makes sense. So if you, and I have to say, this took me a couple of years to really figure out. So don't feel like, you know, you got to like figure it out right away. But just starting simple, really, with like personal and work, separating that. And maybe like what we call structural productivity, just scheduling in the big rocks, as Mike mentioned. So like in a day, there are certain things everybody does, right? Everybody eats, everybody sleeps, everybody works out. Everybody does these three things pretty much. And if you schedule that in on your calendar and you just color code those activities, then you know, like, okay, I call them like non-negotiables. I just have to do them at those times. So for example, you can do this with your rituals, right? If you think your rituals are non-negotiable, which I think they are and should be, then you can put that in there. So for example, I used to have, you know, I used to forget to check my email every now and then. And so what I would do then is just every day at 4 p.m., I have a repeating event on there that was like color-coded in red. So I knew like, okay, this red thing is important. And then every day at 4 p.m. it would go off. And if I just look at my calendar, I can see it in there as well. And so if you have all these like non-negotiables on your calendar, then you can quickly see, okay, this is what I need to do. You just have a reminder of what you need to do when. And hopefully that will help you sort of like keep track of things.
And definitely. And I want to reemphasize what Tan said at the beginning. Start simple, ramp it up. He's been doing this for years. And I think if you just decided all of a sudden you were going to be somebody who works out every day and zeros his inbox and 20 other good habits that you would like to be in, you're going to just stress yourself out and maybe not get them done anyway. So start simple, ramp up from there, and know what's on it by our tip number three, by reviewing it. So do you guys have any special way that you review your calendar? I know in the morning, that's one of the first things I do in my morning ritual is after getting up, making the bed, doing a little meditation, doing a little journaling, I'll look at my calendar to just make sure I don't have anything immediately coming up or I'm missing anything. And this is, it was maybe about 6 months ago I started doing that because I had a few appointments catch me off guard. I was like, I got to, three times rule, I got to fix this system. So that's part of my morning ritual. What about you guys? How do you review or look at your calendar?
Well, one thing I would say is avoid overlap. So especially for me, when I have a bunch of different things on my calendar, you can really only do one thing at a time. You really can't multitask. And so if you see any overlap with things, if you have a bunch of stuff on your calendar, different areas of responsibility, the tendency is going to be to say, well, that's not a big deal when you get the alert. I can do that later. But that's poison to your system, because once you do that once, then you no longer have a system that you can trust. And so when you really do have a conflict that you need to resolve, you're not going to realize it until it's too late.
All right, Tan, I think you have some advice for avoiding that poison, as Mike calls it.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things you can do. One of them is just to say no after you said yes. So when you look at your calendar, you would just want to make sure that when you review it, you have a set time you look at it, and then also make it a ritual. Because as you mentioned, Zach, if you can make it a ritual where, okay, for you, it's like every morning, that's your ritual just to get ready for the day. Is that fair to say?
Totally.
So like, how do you feel after you looked at your calendar?
Like nothing's going to sneak up and bite me in the butt.
Right. Which is, I used to look at it every morning as well. And I still actually do, but I don't place that big of an importance anymore. And I think the reason is because I look at my calendar every day throughout the day. And with the month view, I just know all the time what's going on. So like, if you ask me like what's going on in 2 weeks, I kind of roughly know how busy I am, because with the month view, you just kind of know. So I think that's one of the reasons I like the month view, going back to that whole thing. But for starters, yeah, I would recommend just checking it every single morning. So you just know like, okay, how busy are you? If you are somebody who plans your day the night before, which I do recommend, having a look at it the night before also makes it much easier to sleep at night. Just knowing like, okay, tomorrow I got an appointment. I got to, you know, got to go to this meeting. I got to go here. I got to do this and that. It just makes you sleep better at night as well, just knowing what's coming up the next day. So I highly recommend that as well. But in the morning as a refresher, definitely too.
And I guess the last thing when you're reviewing could come up when you're scheduling, after you've scheduling, or if you've looked at it, is to get the time zones right. I'm notoriously bad at translating time zones. So I always use this app called World Time Buddy, even if it's just East Coast. I'm like, I double check to make sure. So I think that's another thing you can review, is to make sure that you get the appointment at the right time. And if you're talking with somebody who is from a different part of the country or a different part of the world, make sure you get those time zones right. And if you do have a conflict, or you just decide that the day has gotten too full, if you've reviewed, you can decide, okay, well, this appointment I need to change. And then you can just reach out to the person and change it right then and there. One other thing that we think would be a way to master your calendar on top of reviewing, color coding, and knowing those shortcuts is to use the description field. So I'm a big, big fan of this, because sometimes you'll set an appointment for a few weeks or maybe a few months in advance, and when it comes up, you have no idea why you guys are even meeting or what sort of the point of the meeting was. And I know we could even just talk with this appointment we set for ourselves here. We knew exactly what we're doing because we used the description field. I put some. I was the one who set the appointment, and I was able to do that because I have access to your guys' calendar, so I knew when you guys were available. So I found a good time for us and sent out the invites, and I put the show notes as well as where this lives in our Teams manager, Jira, and put all that stuff in there, so we knew exactly what we were doing and what we were up to. Mike, what were some other tips that you would use in the description field?
I would just say in the description field, you want to put information that you're going to need for the event. So you had some examples in the show notes, things like phone numbers, addresses, contact info. I would say an agenda could go there. We had the link to the Google Doc that we were using for show notes. But let's say you don't need to create a shared Google Doc. You just want to put in some notes about the meeting that you've set up. It's going to be a lot easier if you check the description field 3 months from now, right before the meeting, if you write it for your future self, which we talk about when we describe creating tasks in your task management system. You want to assume that in the future, when you're looking at this thing, that if you have absolutely no idea what you were thinking when you created it. You want to make it as easy as possible to just pick this up and run with it when it's time to actually do something and take action on this thing that's blocked out on your calendar.
Yeah, I love the idea of just adding and dumping as much as possible in the description field. So like you mentioned, like I have phone numbers there all the time. Like if I know that I want to call customer service at a specific time, instead of like saying, call, you know, Time Warner customer service and then not have a phone number in there, by the time I actually have to call him, like, and I have to look for the phone number, I want to just slap myself. Like, it's just like so inefficient because then I have to look for the number. I'm wasting so much time. And so if you know you're going to do stuff like that, you know, just like Mike sort of hinted, you know, write for your future self, basically. Like, just think about, okay, at that time, what do I actually need to know? And let's make sure I put it in there. So like phone numbers, addresses, and especially with these new calendar apps and how well they're integrated with everything. Like in the Mac calendar, the default calendar, if you put an address in there in the field, it will actually show you the map as well and how long it will get you to get there and stuff. So the more you put in there, the better it is. One other cool thing I'm trying to figure out right now, and this is something I have to give a shout out to one of the Dojo members. In Dutch, you pronounce it as Jos, but I'm sure as Americans, you probably say Jos or something. But he put this like awesome post in there where he talks about how he integrated BusyCal with BusyContacts. Now, I have both apps, and I've not spent enough time integrating both of them. But he gave a couple of really good scenarios where, you know, when he has lunch with somebody, he can like tag that person, which is basically a link to the BusyContact, which is, you know, synced up through iCloud, which is the same contact you see on your iPhone and stuff like that. And then he can see all the integrations when it comes to like all the emails that have been corresponded with, stuff like that. So it's like it can almost act like a CRM almost. And so if you can build that integration with it through, you know, using the description field and other stuff in there, it makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, BusyContacts and BusyCal work really well together. And it's pretty easy to integrate them. And once you have information for a contact, like their phone number, it'll automatically pull in all of your iMessage history or messages, I guess you'd call it now. If you put in their Twitter handle, for example, it'll pull in all of their tweets into the contact record. So it's a really powerful CRM. But one thing I wanted to go back and mention, Tan, because you were talking about like you could put in the more information you have, you could pull in the maps and things like that. And with the newer versions of iOS, this is getting even more powerful, where now if it'll look at where you are and based on the address that you've given, it will basically calculate how long it's going to take you to get there, and it'll alert you when you should start getting ready to leave. So it just makes it so much easier when you dot all the I's and cross all the T's on the front end, which is ultimately the goal of the system, is you want to put things into the system and then have the system work for you. Then you don't have to worry about it. You'll get notified when it's time to go to your meeting, for example.
Yeah, one other, now that we're on the topic of sort of like technology in that sense, one thing I really like about Google, and this is something they're doing right now, is that if they can detect some sort of appointment in your inbox, they will automatically add it to your calendar. So for example, I book a lot of like dinners. So I use OpenTable for that, where I just go on my phone, book a dinner, and you know, then I get an email confirmation. But what Google does is it will read the email and then put that information on your calendar, so you know right away when that dinner is. So you don't actually have to manually transfer it over, which is awesome. The second thing it does is it will actually, if you go to Google Maps and you're logged in under the same email address, it will actually star the location on there. So it's like all like integrated, which is, you know, as a sort of a efficiency nerd, vertical integration is like the way to go because it just makes everything so smooth. Same thing goes with like trips, right? So anytime Google can detect a itinerary, it will actually put the flight times automatically on your calendar. So right now, when I look at my calendar, even though TripIt is synced up, I actually have duplicate events because Google is now putting my flight times on there as well. So yeah, I'm really excited about where this is going because I think there's so much more potential for this. And as you mentioned, Mike, you know, just being notified when to leave, that sort of thing is like the first step in the right direction. Imagine if, you know, it automatically syncs it with your contacts and all that stuff and, you know, sends it to your phone and like tells you to GPS it the right way and that sort of stuff. Like I see this just like revolution coming up that I think is going to be really exciting. But from a privacy point of view, I can understand why some people would freak out, but I personally like it.
Well, that's what's cool about the Apple stuff is Apple has rather publicly and famously taken a stance that your privacy is important. So the way that they do it is a little bit different than the Google integration, and it's not as powerful, but it's really interesting to see all of that happen on the device. So even if you really are concerned about your privacy, there are options available to you.
All right. And we couldn't help but dive in already because we're just productivity geeks thinking like nerds. Automate it was our last one. So we've already talked about a number of ways where you can automate, or just the technology that we already use automates for us. There's a few other ones. And actually, Tan, that's interesting you mentioned that. I was wondering why my TripIt events seemed to be duplicating. It must have been Google in the background doing it. What are some other ways to automate your calendar? I know I'm a big fan of using schedulers. So three of my favorites are You Can Book Me, Calendly, and Schedule Once. And the benefit of that is instead of going back and forth, trying to find a good time that works well for both of you, you can just send somebody your scheduler and it has all the times that you've decided you have available and will take into consideration things that you already have on your calendar. It won't double book you. But I've actually run into one or two double books, and I'm not quite sure why that happened with Schedule Once. Anything else you guys have for automating, just making things a little bit easier when it comes to your calendar?
Yeah, one that I really use a lot is subscriptions. So TripIt was an example of a subscription where I basically subscribe to the TripIt service, right? So we've talked about that. But I also use it for other stuff. So for example, in the dojo, we have a community calendar. And if you get the subscription link from there, you can subscribe to the dojo calendar. And so anytime somebody adds an event on there, I know it's going to be on my calendar. Same thing for the team calendar that we have internally. But you can use this for other stuff, right? So for example, I know there, if you Google online for like calendar subscriptions, and then like, let's say your TV show, for example, you can actually subscribe to your favorite TV show and have like a subscription link for it, where then it will just automatically pop up on your calendar when the live show is of your favorite TV show. So I do this, for example, for sports. So I as some of you might know, I follow the LA Lakers. So that's like my NBA team. And so I have a subscription for every game that they have this year. And so I know on my calendar when they're playing, what time. And so, I have to update it once a year because it's not really technically a subscription. It's just like a ICS file that you download. But, and then it like kind of like pre-populates your schedule. But you can basically do something very similar for all the stuff that you want, you know, whether that's your favorite TV show, your favorite sports team, or anything like that. That's one way to automate your calendar as well.
Yeah, the only other thing I would really add, I guess, is just leverage repeating events. This is really important. A lot of times, I can't even tell you how many times I've had people not show up for a meeting because someone forgot to create the recurring meeting event. And so when you create it the first time, if you know that the meeting is going to take place every day at 11 a.m., like our daily huddle, then just go ahead and repeat that. And then the other thing, sharing calendars, there's a lot of creative ways that you can do this. So I already mentioned, like, we have a family calendar that we share, me and my wife. So it's really, really convenient to be able to create an event on that family calendar and have both of us see it because we're not both in the same place a lot of the time. But that way we can make sure that we're staying in communication and ultimately we're staying in agreement, we're staying in alignment, which I'm sure you guys have probably heard me talk about before. But you can do that with shared reminders lists too. So like grocery lists, everything. That's getting a little bit off topic, but just think of those areas where you're not the only person who's going to be able to see this. And then share it and repeat it if it's applicable.
I have one more tech-savvy tip, which I just realized I use, which is automated notifications. So for all of my events, I have a setting. I'm not sure where I put it. It's either in BusyCal or in Google Calendar by default. But basically, the setting says, you know, for every calendar event, I will always get a notification 1 hour before the event starts. So this helps me sort of stay on top of everything. So anytime there's an appointment or an event going on at a specific time, I will always get 1 hour before the event starts a notification popping up on my phone. So that way, because I have my phone with me most of the time, and 1 hour is like enough time to be able to be aware of what's going on and to maneuver if I have to. Because if I set it to 5 minutes, I would usually show up for most things. But if I find out 5 minutes beforehand that I forgot that I had an appointment on the other side of town, that makes it a little difficult. So that's why I set it to 1 hour. So I know, okay, I can be anywhere where I need to be within 1 hour for the most part, or maneuver things around if I need to. So that's one thing I personally use all the time. And that's why I do, that's the only notification that I really enjoy getting is the calendar notification 1 hour beforehand.
Nice. I'm the same way. I do a 10 minute one just in case it's maybe a Skype call or something. And I only need a couple minutes to prep for it too. Well, that's pretty good. So just to review and recap, we talked about knowing your shortcuts, color coding your meetings, reviewing your calendar on some sort of regular basis, using the description field to write to your future self, assume you don't remember anything, which is a good assumption, and automate it. We definitely dived into that automation bit quite a bit. So thank you for bringing all the tech, Mike and Tan. I think the takeaways seem to be just keep it simple and scannable. Keep it up to date, make sure it's something that you can trust, and capture and set meetings. Just make it as easy as possible for everybody. So the show notes can be found at theproductivityshow.com/77. Is there any last things that you guys wanted to throw in there or key takeaways that you think you've had from this? This is good. There's a few things I need to tweak after talking to you guys.
No, just make sure that you actually use your calendars.
I second that.
All right. So maybe even one takeaway, use your calendar. It's important. All right. Well, that sounds good. And one last time, theproductivityshow.com/77. I put a bunch of links in there to different articles we've written, the previous podcast we did on calendar applications, and some goodies like shortcuts to different calendar apps. So be sure to check that out, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.